You're about to experience a life-giving message from Bishop Kevin Foreman, the People's Bishop, pastor of Harvest Church. We exist to lead people to totally love God, love people, and love life as one church in global location. Wherever you are, we are. Find out more on our website at www.harvestchurch.church or stay connected and get our mobile app by texting the word HARVEST to the number 55498. Your faithful giving is how we continue to bring life-giving messages like these to you. So bless what blesses you in our app or online at www.harvestchurch.com.
You Harvest. Come on, let's pray together, or let's declare this together. I'm in my year of more. God will do more in me. God will do more through me. God will do more for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Speak, Lord. Have your way today, God. We need a word from you. Give us everything that we need. Don't let us leave the same. We believe you're about to speak with power. We believe you're about to speak with clarity. And for that, we say thank you. In Jesus' name. Come on, in the building, clap your hands. Open up your mouth. Online, clap your hands. Open up your mouth. God's about to speak. This ain't just a sermon. This is a life-giving message. God is about to speak life into your life. Come on, somebody say, speak, Lord. Give me everything I need. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, on your way to your seat, high five two or three people and just tell them, the devil is a liar. Type that in the comments. The devil is a liar. Oh, let's go to work. Shucky, ducky, quack, quack. Let's go. Okay, so the series we're in all this month is called Speak, Lord. Everybody say Speak, Lord. Because Job 33:14 says this, for God may speak in one way or in another, which means God has multiple ways to speak. And throughout this series, I have taught you that there are seven ways he speaks. But the Bible says, yet man does not perceive it. In other words, man isn't aware. Man doesn't understand. And man doesn't properly interpret. So this series was to make sure that you can perceive that God is speaking. Come on, say, speak, Lord. Now, the seven ways that God speaks, number one, through prayer, praise, and worship. This is why when prayer, praise, and worship is happening, you should not just be in a passive posture like you're being entertained. Even if you don't know the song, you should go like you know it. Watch me. In fact, if I don't know the song, I didn't need a praise team to get me there because I came with my own praise. I came with my own worship, which means, watch me, I know how good God has been to me. Let's check the building and online. Is there anybody where you can say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Because when I begin to pray, praise, and worship, God is going to respond to me. When I lift my hands, God's going to respond to me. When I praise him, he's going to respond to me. Prayer, praise, and worship. Number two, through an angel. Where the word angel means messenger. So sometimes God will send a messenger into your life that is going to speak something to you. And that angel, watch me, according to Genesis 19, when they appear in the earth, they will appear as a human being, which means God may have somebody, look at me, God may have somebody to show up in your life that you only see one time because they're only sent to deliver one message. What if there were some people in your life that were sent to be a messenger, which is why they couldn't stay in your life very long? Because once the message was delivered, it was time for them to go. What if those people that ghosted you, because after they got you the message, it was time for them to go? What if that relationship that you thought was going to last forever, you thought it was a Keith song, make it last forever. You thought it was going to last forever, but it did not last forever. Why? Because once they delivered the message, it was time for them to go. You're about to release a real crazy praise right there. What's this praise for? For everybody that had to leave your life, because once they delivered the message, their assignment was over. In your life, you're about to put a praise in the building and online for everybody that had to exit your life. 1, 2, 3, release your praise right there. Go. Thank you, God, for every person that had to exit. Thank you for every person that delivered a message. But once that message was delivered, their assignment was over. Let's go. Number three, through dreams and visions. God speaks when you sleep, and when you have what's called a daydream or an open vision while you're awake, or during the day, God can be speaking to you. And 95% of those dreams are your spirit purging, which means God is trying to get something out of you, which means sometimes you'll have a lot of fear built up, and God will allow you to address the fear in a dream, which is why you'll wake up from the dream scared. You'll wake up from the dream sweating because God says, I need to get this out of you tonight because you don't have time to be scared tomorrow. Let's talk. 5% of those dreams are prophetic, which means they're foretelling something to come.
What you're seeing can be a warning for you. Watch me. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. Sometimes the warning is you need to pray to shut this down. Y'all better hear me. Sometimes you might see something and say, I saw something negative. That's your cue. I better pray to shut this down. I saw something crazy happening. You better pray to shut that down. Then number four, a storm. Come here. The Bible says that God spoke to Job through a storm. Which means sometimes the only way God can speak to you is when he lets a storm come and get your attention. You're about to release another one of those crazy praises. Why? Because for some of you, there's been some storms going on in some areas of your life. And I got good news for you. God was using the storm to speak to you. If I'm talking to you, and I'm evidently not talking to everybody, but if I'm speaking to you, I just need you to shout, thank you for speaking, God, through my storm. Yeah. Yeah, I know it was a lot going on, but God was speaking. He was telling you, you got to stop putting your faith in people. Let's stop. He was telling you, you're bigger and better than what you've been through. He was telling you that your future is going to be better than your past. Sometimes you need a storm, and watch me, it looks like it's messing everything up. But the truth is, watch me, the storm that looked like it was messing everything up was actually just clearing the table because God's about to give you a new beginning. I wish you would touch somebody close to you and say, he was speaking through the storm. Number five, he'll speak through something or someone that you least expect. In Numbers 22, the Bible says that God spoke through Balaam's donkey. Balaam was a prophet. He was a man of God. And Balaam was getting ready to walk into the death angel who was getting ready to kill him. He was getting ready to unalive him. But when he, watch me, when the donkey got close, the Bible says, look at me, the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. Look at me. God will sometimes open the mouth of something or someone you least expect, and he will have them to say something to you. That's exactly what you need to hear. Let me prove it to you. Have you ever had an unbeliever say something to you that you needed to hear when you needed to hear it? Y'all ain't gonna talk. Have you ever had your unsaved family member, your unsaved friend come to you and say something and you, watch me, they were like, I thought you were supposed to be this. I thought you were supposed to do this. And they got you together. Sometimes God will use somebody and something that you least expect to speak to you. Come on, say, speak, Lord. All right, number six, logos. This is like Legos. These are building. That's a Greek word, which means it's his voice in a verse. Sometimes you're looking for voices, but his voice is already recorded in a verse, which means God is speaking through his word. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, which means he is his word. So every time I read his word, I'm getting closer to him. Every time I'm in his word, every time I hear a message, every time I'm on a pop-up, every time it's Sunday, every time it's Bible study, I'm actually getting closer to him because I'm getting his word. It's impossible to get closer to him and not get in his word. And this includes his voice in a verse, including numbers, signs, look at me, numbers, and wonders. And I talked to this in depth on Wednesday, and one of those things is even inclusive of patterns, like the calendar. God speaks through the calendar, which is why we honor the spring feast and the fall feast at harvest. And then number seven, rhema. Everybody say rhema. Rhema is what he's saying now from what he said then. There's a reason at Harvest we don't call the messages sermons, but we call them life-giving messages, because Jesus said the words that he speaks are spirit and they bring life, which means the purpose of a message, a sermon is something you heard when you were a child and you did something you weren't supposed to do. But look at me. But a life-giving message, watch me, it gives me life every time I feel dead. It gives me life every time I feel defeated. It lets me know that, watch me, I may have fallen seven times, but I'll get up again. It lets me know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It lets me know that what's ahead is greater than what's been. It lets me know that he makes all things work together for my good. It's to speak life into me. I wish you'd touch somebody and say, hey, he's about to speak life into you. All right. So now, out of those seven ways he speaks, these different ways, watch me, it could be one of four voices that you have to discern to distinguish. What does that mean? Because everything that you hear or perceive or that you sense might be God, it's not necessarily God. Number one, it can be you talking to yourself. And I've taught you throughout this series that what you desire most will speak the loudest, which is why you have to constantly keep your will in check, because sometimes you'll want something that's not good for you. Sometimes you'll desire something that's not good for you. The Bible says in Jeremiah that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all, which means you lie to you more than the devil lies to you. In fact, I've taught you so far that the psalmist said, Lord, keep me from lying to myself. Why? Because you cannot get high off your own supply. Let's talk. You cannot get so deluded by what it is that you desire that you miss the whole reason you were sent to the earth. In the first place, come here, Jeremiah. I feel like preaching this morning. Jeremiah chapter 1 says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I ordained you a prophet and sanctified you as a prophet to the nations. Which means, Jeremiah, the whole reason I sent you is because you and I had a deal that when you got there, you were going to speak for me, which means you're not there to just do your will. You are there to fulfill my will. So your prayer has to be, God, let what you want be louder than what I want. And matter of fact, Lord, let what you want be what I want. So I want what you want, and you want what I want, so I always want what you want for me. Number two, it can be people's unbiblical opinions. You have to be careful because everybody's got an opinion on everything. I think you should do this. I think you should do this. I think you should do this. If people don't have Bible to back up what they're saying, what you should do is shut down what they're saying because you know it's not God. Can I be honest with you? For many people, watch me, the people who will talk you out of it are sometimes the people who mean well but don't know better. They meant well with what they said, but they just didn't know what they were talking about. Number three, it can be God talking. Number four, it can be Satan talking. And this is where I want to talk about. Say, the devil is a liar. Oh, I need you to say this thing with some authority in your voice, in the building, and online. Say, the devil is a liar. Now, let me show you this. The devil is our accuser. Revelation 12:10 says, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Let's stop right there. The word Satan comes from the Hebrew ha-satan, which means the adversary or the celestial prosecutor, which means Satan has an assignment, and his assignment is to be your accuser. He'll make three types of accusations. Everybody say three. Number one, he will accuse you to yourself. He will get you to try to turn on you so that you self-destruct and self-defeat. But I need you to elbow somebody and say, that's not happening. That's not happening. You got to learn how to get over yourself, how to get over your own failures, how to get over your own past, how to get over your own mistakes. Sometimes you need to be able to look at yourself and say, you have done a whole lot of crazy stuff, but you serve a God that loves you anyhow. Wait a minute. Is there anybody in the building and online? Well, you can say, I may not be where I want to be, but I can thank God I am not where I used to be. And you don't get to throw my failures in my face. You don't get to throw my mistakes in my face. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are made new. Come on, say it, y'all. All things are made new. Say it with me, y'all. All things are made new. Now, release a praise right there. Go. All things are new. All things are new. So anytime somebody tries to bring up your past, you just need to say, listen, yep, I did that and a whole lot more. That's what I need, Jesus. Anytime Satan tries to bring up your past, you tell him his future. What do you mean? The Bible says that he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire, which means you can bring up my past, Joker, but your future looks horrible. He'll accuse you to yourself. Number two. He will accuse you to God. He'll say, God, according to your word, you said you give them exactly what they said. So because they said they stressed out, give them stress. Because they said they're sick, give them sickness. Because they said nothing ever works for them, give them exactly what they said. He will use the word against you because he knows the word better than you. Look at me. He sat around greatness his entire existence. This is why you became a target. Y'all don't know when to shout. You became a target because when he saw greatness in you, he recognized the greatness he's been around his entire existence. And for some of y'all, you should, watch me, instead of feeling mad that you've been attacked and accused, you should be grateful. Why? Because this must mean there's greatness on the inside of me. I wish you'd lay your hands on yourself and say, there's greatness in me. There's greatness in me. The third type of accusation, he accuses you to yourself, he'll accuse you to God, and then he'll accuse God to you. What does this mean? He will literally begin to say to you, well, if God loved you so much, why are you going through this? If God cared about you, why are you dealing with this? And so now you begin to question the God that has been there for you, that has been there with you, and even though you've had some difficulties, hasn't he made a way? Okay, wait a minute. Let's have old school testimony service. Giving honor to God, who is truly the head of my life. Well, that's me. I just want to tell him thank you. Is there anybody in the building and the line where you can say, baby, I can look back, and I ain't even got to look back that far. I can look back over the last week, and I can give you testimony and praise report after praise report and testimony of how good God has been. Come on in the building and online. Would you just slap two people a high five? Say, God has been good to me. I need you to go to two people, slap them a high five. Say, God has been good to me. Right.
But the accuser of our brethren who accuse them before our God day and night. So this is his job. This is his assignment. 24/7, he's making accusations. Look at me. Say 24/7. So what does this mean? 24/7, he's accusing you to yourself, which means this is why you can be feeling great and all of a sudden out of nowhere, a thought come. I'm going to break this thing down. The Bible says he has been cast down. In other words, it's kind of like when a prosecutor goes to court and tries to bring a charge against you, the judge has the ability under their discretion to dismiss the charges. The judge has the ability, look at me, under their discretion to rebuke the prosecutor. He has the ability under his discretion to say, listen, I hear what you're saying. And the prosecutor said, well, Your Honor, we want to object. And the judge has the ability in their discretion to say, objection, overrule. I'm going to tell somebody, every time he objects to you getting blessed, God says, oh, okay. Every time he objects to your greatness manifesting, God says, overrule. Every time he says you should suffer, God says, overrule. Every time he says you should die, God says, overrule. Every time he says your life shouldn't be anything, God says, overrule. Every time he throws your past in your face, God says, overrule.
You ready? He has been cast down. Objection, overrule. The case is dismissed. Objection, overrule. The case was dismissed. Objection, overrule. The case was dismissed. Objection, overrule. The case was dismissed. Come on. Objection, overrule. The case was dismissed. You say, objection, overrule. The case was dismissed. He has been cast down. Are you still here? Now, why is this important? Look at verse 12. Woe to you inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath. Look at this last part. Because he knows that he has a short time. Look at me. When angels were created, they were created outside of time. Got it? Even human beings, when we were created outside of time. As a result of Adam's sin, time was introduced. Because there was never supposed to be an end of our days. We were supposed to live forever. Look at me. That's what the Bible says. Even now, the gift of God is eternal life, but the wages of sin is what? Death. This is why you are tripart being. You have a spirit, that's your subconscious mind. You possess a soul, your thoughts, mind, will, and emotions. You live in a physical body. Pay attention, which means your spirit, even though the body may die, your spirit, when you know the Lord, your spirit lives forever. And you existed before you had a body. Jeremiah chapter 1, before I formed you in your mother's womb, stop. I knew you, which means I existed before I had a body, which means the gift to me is that I keep existing when I don't have one. Come on. I keep existing once I exit the earth. But the Bible says he's come down to you with great wrath because he knows he has a short time. Look at me. In other words, he's going to try to do as much as he can, as fast as he can, to accuse you to God, you to yourself, and God to you to try to get you to tear your own life up. But guess what? The devil is a liar. Now, when I count to three, everybody in this building and online, I need you to say that together. Why? Because if you don't know he's lying, you'll start believing the lies. On three. One, two, three. The devil is a liar. Let's go. John 8:44. Bishop, where do you get that from? Great question. Your father is the devil. Now, let me set this up and give you context. Jesus is speaking to some of the religious people of the day. What does that mean? Look at me. He's speaking to church folk. And as he's speaking to church folk, they're going back and forth with him, battling about Bible. They're saying, well, Abraham's our father. God is our father. And he's like, look, well, if God was your father, you'd recognize me. He said, evidently, you're not as spiritual as you think you are because you don't even recognize the messenger he sent.
You don't even recognize whose presence you're in. So he says to them, your father is the devil, and you do exactly what he wants. Everybody look at me. Which means there's some people that playing like they spiritual, but the truth is they really satanic. Y'all ain't gonna talk. There are some people that are praying like they got the Holy Ghost, and really, baby, they guessing. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. There are some people that are acting spiritual, but the truth is they're not. They couldn't be spiritual because they're using God to bully people and tear people down and to make people feel like they're less than instead of building people up. You could not possibly be of God, and you're trying to tear down men of God, tear down churches, tear down God's people. That ain't God. Your father is the devil, and you do exactly what he wants. He's always been a murderer and a liar, and there's nothing truthful about him. Watch what Jesus says. Next part. Next part says this. He speaks on his own, and everything he says is a what? Lie. Everything he says is a lie. Now, I'm about to give you a great place to shout. Here's your place to shout. If he's a liar, this means when he whispers a lie to you, that's good news. Say, why is that good news, Bishop? Because the opposite is true. I'll talk over here because they ain't shouting over there. The opposite is true. So if he says you ain't going to make it, you will. Because he's a liar. If he says you're sick, you're not. Because he's a healer. If he says you're going to be broke, you won't be. You're a faithful giver. If he says it ain't going to work for you, it will. Because he makes all things work together. If he says your children won't be saved, they will be. If he says you're going to die lonely, you won't. If he says, open your mouth, say, that's good news for me. Come on. Say, that's good news for me. He speaks on his own, and everything he says is a lie. And here's the good news. If he's lying, the opposite is true. If he's lying, the opposite is true. If he's lying, the opposite is true. Not only is he a liar himself, but he's the father of what? Of all lies. So here's the question. How does he lie, Bishop? Say, how does he lie? Amazing question. He studies you. He's been studying you since you got here. Look at me. Satan does not know what you're thinking, and Satan does not know what your process of thought is. Pay attention. He has to study you. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. Omnipresent everywhere at the same time. He's not omnipotent, omnipotent. He's not all powerful. He's not omniscient, all knowing. He's none of these things. So he has to study you. In other words, he's been watching you since you got here, trying to figure out what accusation is going to work against you. Because he figures, since I got your mama in him, since I got your daddy in him, since I got the rest of your family, since I got the rest of your community, since I got the rest of your bloodline, I think you should be an easy target too. But the devil is a liar. He studies you. Now I knocked all my props on the floor. I knocked all my little props on the floor. But there's a prop. There's a prop. Let me get the prop. Let me get this prop. He studies you. Say, he studies me, which means he's got no cards. Y'all just come on with me. He's got no cards. He's been studying. He said, let me study you. Okay. All right. Let me study. Let me take notes. He's an anthropologist. Look at the scripture on the screen. It says in 1 Peter. Look at it on the screen. It says in 1 Peter. It says right here. It says, be sober-minded. In other words, don't lose your mind. So now we know where the warfare is. The warfare is in your mind. Which means this is where he makes accusations. He makes accusations in your mind. I need you to lay your hands on your head and say, Lord, help me keep my mind. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. In other words, he says, if you don't watch out for this, Mark, he's going to get you. Mark is an urban colloquialism that means person in whom I do not enjoy. He says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Look at the screen. For your adversary. He's not God's adversary. God has no adversaries because God has no equals. He says, your adversary, the devil, what does he do? He walks around. He prowls around. What is that doing? He's studying you. Like a roaring lion. Now, he's not a lion. Who's the lion? Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah, which means he's got to, watch me, he's got to imitate because he can't duplicate. Okay, I'll back it up and say it again. He's got to imitate because he cannot duplicate, which means he's got to act like he is God because he's not God. He's got to act like the lion because he's not the lion. What does a lion do? When a lion roars, a lion is roaring to do what? Startle you. I just need you to just touch somebody close to you. Just touch them real fast. Say, don't be startled. I do not like the way they said it. Tell somebody else. Say, don't be startled. Why? Because I've been studying you to startle you. In other words, I want to introduce a thought you weren't expecting to come that's going to try to take the rest of your day. I want to introduce a thought that you weren't expecting to come to make you feel like a failure. Even though you're succeeding better than you ever even thought you would, I need to introduce an accusation. I need to introduce an accusation. I need to knock on your mind to see if you're going to let me in. Let me in now. I'm trying to get in so I can introduce a thought into your mind that will startle you, that will catch you off guard. And look what the Bible says, seeking someone to devour. Say someone. If he's seeking someone to devour, that means he can't get everybody. Watch me. But he can get you if you're not sober-minded. I need you to touch somebody close to you and say, he ain't going to get you. He ain't going to get you no more. He ain't going to get you no more. But he studies you. He studies you. He studies you. So here's what he does. Here's what he does. He studies you. Let me get my pencil back. He studies you. Got my pencil. So he's watching. So he's like, okay. All right. Okay. He says, daddy issues. Okay. All right, so let me make sure they always deal with insecurities, because since they were never affirmed properly, and just because the father was present doesn't mean that a father was purposeful. So now let me introduce some daddy. There's daddy issues. So I'm gonna make sure that I do something with this insecurity. Oh, okay. Oh, they have a short temper. Oh my. Oh my. Oh, God, okay. Ooh, they get angry fast. Ooh, wow. Okay, so all I need to do is push them to the edge because they'll jump. All I need to do is push them to the edge, they'll jump. They're so emotional and they're so volatile that all I got to do is push them a little bit. Watch me. It can be a little thing that happens. Their computer didn't work and now they didn't tore up their office. Y'all ain't going to send them. Watch me. Something small happened and they'll tear something up. Let me study them. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Uh-oh. They like attention. Ooh. I'm going to send somebody that's exactly the kind of attention they like. And I'm going to give them all the attention that they want so that they get distracted by the attention that they're getting, so they take their eyes off of what they should be focused on. Oh, I see. Oh, I see what gets her out of church. A man. Okay. So I see. Okay. I know how to. Okay. Y'all ain't going to send it to me? Okay. I see what gets him distracted. Let me just send legs, hips, and body. Because if I send that, I know I can get him distracted. He's been studying you so he could startle you and catch you off guard. But I need you on the count of three in this building and online to open up your mouth if you're not going to be startled again. Say, the devil is a liar. Put a praise in the building and online right there. He's been studying you. He's been studying you. He's been studying you. He says, let me look a little closer. Let me look a little closer at some of the areas. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. They're comparing themselves to people on social media. So let me make sure their algorithm has things that don't encourage them, but it's going to have stuff of people they don't even know, don't even like, that every time they see it, it's going to make them feel unaccomplished. Every time they see it, it's going to make them feel like they're behind. I need you to encourage somebody close to you, because you don't know how many people you just touch right there, and just touch them and make this declaration. Say, you're right on time. Come on, tell them. Say, I said you're right on time. You're not behind, baby. You are right on time. Wait a minute, though. He's been studying you. He's been studying you. And he discovered, watch me, that there's something deeper there. There's something deeper there. Oh, what is that I found? You don't actually really know if you really believe anymore. Uh-oh. You believe in God. There's parts of you that stopped believing God because you didn't get what you wanted when you wanted it. It didn't happen the way you thought it was supposed to happen. And so consequently now, you believe in him. But the Bible says even the demons do this. He says even the demons believe in God. He says, but I'm going to need you to believe God. I need you to open your mouth in the building and online. Say, Lord, I believe you. I believe you. Tell him, say, Lord, I believe you. Lord, I believe you. He's seeking someone he can devour. So he studies you so he can startle you. And let me show you this in action. Say, the devil is a liar. Come on, say it with authority. Say, the devil is a liar. Luke 22 and 3. This is the man named Judas that we are familiar with, Judas, because he was one of the 12. He was one of the 12 ruling apostles who Acts teaches us were the bishops. When Judas goes, the Bible says, let another man take his office. The word there in Greek is the word episkopin, where we get our word episcopacy, which means the bishop. So the 12 were the ruling apostles or the bishops. And the scripture says that then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was named among the 12. Now, this is interesting because even though he was around Jesus, Satan still had an entry point. Which means you can serve, you can give, you can pray, you can worship, you can be around God, but watch me, but still fall away from God. And I need you, oh God, I hear you loud and clear. I need you to lay your hands on yourself. Say, Lord, keep me from falling away. Come on, I need you to lay your hands on yourself, please. Say, Lord, keep me from falling away. Keep me from falling away. Then Satan entered Judas. What does that word entered mean? It is this Greek word, esarkomai. Which means like eating food, a thought enters your mind. So here is how the devil introduces his lie to you, a thought. This is how the devil lies to you, a thought. It's like eating food. Now, just side note, these Fig Newtons are the best Fig Newtons on the planet. Okay, just a side note. Look at me. Like eating food, a thought enters your mind. In other words, he's going to introduce something to you as a thought. This is why the Bible says, take every thought captive. What does that mean? Hold up, hold up, hold up. Before I digest this, let me make sure it's not poisonous. Before I think this is truth, let me make sure it's actually truth. Before I accept this at face value, let me make sure that this should actually be accepted. This is how he lies, is he introduces a thought to you, and it's like eating food. And look at verse 4. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him, referring to Jesus, to them. In other words, when he conferred with them, he got co-signers. So pay attention. This lie has been introduced. Now he needed somebody else to co-sign the lie. In other words, he needed somebody to agree with it. Can I tell some of you all why you went through verbal abuse? It was to introduce co-signers. Okay. In other words, everything negative somebody said about you, watch me, it was to co-sign on a lie that the enemy told you. You ain't no good. So now you begin to believe the lie. Guess I ain't no good. Everything crazy they said to you, it was so that you would believe it. But I need you to lay your hands on yourself, say, but let him who stole steal no longer. Come on, Sunday, I'm almost done. Open your mouth in the building and no line. Say, the devil is a liar. Say it again, the devil is a liar. He needed a co-signer because there's a biblical principle. Out of the mouth of two or three, let a thing be established. So as long as it was just with Judas, it stopped. But the moment he got a co-signer, the moment he got somebody else to agree with it, then that thing became locked in him, which is why you have to be careful. Hear me, Sunday. You have to be careful when you're not feeling good or when you're discouraged and you go talk to people because they may co-sign on something that is going to cost you a whole lot. They may say, well, I would just quit if I were you. That's because they've never sacrificed for anything. But I would just give up if I were you. But that's because they've never wanted anything. You have to be careful because right after the enemy introduces a thought, he'll send a cosigner. He'll send somebody to agree with you on something negative. That's what the Bible says, Matthew 18, 19. Watch the principle. If you agree on anything in the earth, it shall be done for you. Pay attention. It didn't just say those were going to be good things. You could agree on something negative. This is why if you get bad news from the doctor, you cannot go to people, child, it's so bad for so-and-so. No, 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 no. By his stripes, I am healed. All right, watch me, look at me. Food, what does it do? It fuels what's already present. Okay, all right, listen. If I eat, all I'm doing is fueling what's already present in my body. You got it? It's not going to create something new per se. It's just going to fuel what's already present. So, for example, you look at it like gas. If food is fuel, if you put gas in your car or you charge your electric, you're just putting fuel in what's already there. The car is going to do what it does. It just needed fuel to do it. So Satan studies you to figure out what's there. Is there a fear of rejection there? Is there low self-esteem there? Is there a victim mentality there? Because what's ever there, he's going to begin to try to get fuel to that in order to cause you to do something crazy. Look at me. Because he can't actually take anything from you. You have to give it up. I'm going to say it again. He can't actually take anything from you. He has to get you to give it up. He couldn't take anything from Adam. He needed Adam to forfeit it. He couldn't take anything from Jesus. Do you remember after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, then Satan came to tempt him and to test him. And he says, I will do this if you do this. In other words, I can't force you. I need to get you to give it up on your own. But I need some faith people in the building and online to just touch somebody close to you and say, I ain't giving up nothing anymore. Come on, wrong person. Touch somebody else. Say, I'm not giving up anything anymore. I've given up my time. I've given up money. I've given up. I've given the devil too much. I'm not giving him another thing. Hey, somebody shout, the devil is a liar. Let's go. Let's go.
So the question is, Bishop, what was in Judas? What was there? If you look at John 12 and 6, then he said, now this is John, and I like John because John is petty. John and I would have gotten along really well. Because John, he has a little petty in what he says. Because as John is telling the story, as he's recounting the gospel, his doesn't work in a systematic way like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptic gospels. They are more like chronological, biographical sketches of what happened. John starts his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He starts in a whole different place. John, because he's the beloved disciple, he's the one that wrote the book of Revelation. Jesus shared with him what he didn't share with anybody else, which teaches us a principle. You can't share everything with everybody. Because sometimes who you think you can trust what you're sharing with is really sent to be a cosigner to try to tear something up. I need you to touch somebody close to you. Say, be careful who you talk to. Oh, God, I don't like the way they said it. Touch somebody and say, be careful who you're talking to. Be careful.
So here it is. We're just about there. He says, John sees things that the others didn't see. So Judas gets mad because Mary comes in, and we presume it's Mary Magdalene. She's, her last name isn't Magdalene. She's actually from a place called from Magda, which is the place that she was from. So she's Mary from this place. We assume that, and we presume that it's her. She comes in, and she's got this bottle of perfume that she puts on his feet, the entire bottle. You know it, it's called the alabaster box. And then she dries her feet, his feet, with her hair. And Judas is like, what in the world? What in the world is going on? Judas is like, why in the world would she do this and look at me and waste this money on his feet? Can I tell you how to know somebody doesn't deserve to be around you when they don't think that things should be spent for you?
I'll back it up and say it again.
If anybody around, why are you spending all that on him? I tell you what I'm finna do with you. You can get your stuff and you can get out. Why? Because if you got a problem with somebody doing something for me, I just found out you a devil. I wish you touch somebody close to you and say, God's about to reveal the people around you. How are you gonna say, this ain't even your stuff? How you gonna say something about, well, why did she do that? We could have took the money and given it to the poor. And look at John with his petty self. I love him. This he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because that Mark was a thief. And he had the money box. Stop right there. Jesus didn't need a money box if he was broke. Judas was Jesus' CFO. He took care of the money for Jesus' ministry. Now, this is important to understand because even though Judas was stealing, Jesus still did so well that it didn't stop him. Which means for some of y'all, I don't need you to worry about who you think got over on you. God is making sure that you still do well in spite of. I know they should have gave you the raise, but you're still doing well in spite of. I know they should have gave you the promotion, but you're still doing well in spite of. I know they should... But you're still doing well in spite of. It says, and he used to take what was put in it, which means Judas was stealing the money. So he's concerned that Jesus don't know. But Jesus is omniscient. He knows everything, which means Judas, it's not that I don't know what you're doing. I just am not saying anything to you because I want to see if you're going to make this right with me. Sometimes you shouldn't confront snakes. You should see if they're going to correct themselves. Because sometimes when you confront a snake, you just teach them how to be more sneaky. Sometimes you just need to watch. Is it now? Are you going? I see what you're doing. I know you think you're so slick that I don't see what you're doing. But I just want to be clear that even though you're a snake, you're not going to stop what I'm doing. You're about to release a third crazy praise for this message. I want you to give God praise. Watch me. For every snake that's been in your life, in your circle, watch me. But you still made it anyhow. On three. One, two, three. Go. Right there. Release. You made it anyhow. Come on. You succeeded anyhow. You did well anyhow. You had some snakes, but you still did well. Somebody shout, I'm still doing well. Shout it again, I'm still doing well. Let's go. He's afraid Jesus is going to find out. And the truth is, Jesus already knows. One of the most interesting things about being a leader and having been a leader since I was a kid is that one of the greatest things you could do is have people who, watch me, think you don't know. And they think they really doing something. And you're like, I just learned how to play dumb. Because there's strength in you thinking I don't know. There's power in you thinking I don't know. Y'all ain't said nothing to me. Oh, look, the fear of the Lord just hit the building. There's strength in thinking you don't know. Because what I'm doing is sometimes I can't focus my energy on your foolishness. I got to keep moving forward. But I'm giving you space to fix this. I'm giving you space to get this together. I'm giving you space to correct this. Because there's going to be a moment when your space runs out. There's going to be a moment when your time runs out. He's afraid that Jesus is going to find out. And what does he think Jesus is going to do to him when he finds out he's been stealing? He doesn't know. So what does Satan begin to say? You better get him before he gets you. You better quit him before he quits you. You better leave him before he leaves you. You better try something before he tries something on you. He's going to give up on you. Watch me. Judas means peephole in a door. Iscariot means traitor. He's the son of a traitor, but he's a peephole in a door, which means Judas, you get to decide whether this is the door into your future or into your demise. You get to decide if this is the door into your next or into your past. You get to decide, but Satan begins introducing these thoughts to him. He's going to get you. He's literally, everybody look at me. How many thoughts have come up in your mind for something negative that wasn't even the case? How many of you waving me in the building and online, if you've ever thought the worst case scenario about something and nothing like that even happened? You know, oh my God, it's going to be this. And it ain't nothing like that. Because Satan is a bluffer. He's a what? Liar. So because he's a liar, he introduces stuff.
You're like, oh my God, this is going to be it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how we do.
But then you find out that all is well. Everybody look at me. Say, the devil is a liar. 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Well, what are his works? The thoughts that he introduces to you. The thoughts that he introduces you. The accusations. You against yourself. You to God and God to you. Lift your hands in the building and online. Say, Father, let him who stole steal no longer. The devil is a liar, and I will not believe any of those lies anymore. I will not believe any of those accusations anymore. For this reason, you came to destroy the works of the devil. Shut him down, God. Come on, pray it, y'all. Say, shut him down, God. Don't let me believe another lie. Let me smell it from a mile away. Let me see it from a mile away. The devil is a liar. And I won't believe it. I'm who you say I am. Come on, y'all. I'm more than a conqueror. I am strong. I am bold. I am courageous. I am fearless. I am a king and a priest. I am a curse breaker. I am a history maker. I am a line crosser. I am in the image of God. My future looks good. This is my year of more. You will do more for me.
You will do more through me. You will do more in me. I believe God. Come on, y'all. I believe God. I believe God. In Jesus' name. Now release a praise right in there, in the building and online, like you believe him, like you love him, like you trust him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, in the building and online. Hallelujah. I believe God. Father, every lie, reveal it. Every lie he's told us, reveal it. The lie that he told you, you're ugly. I can come down your street. The lie he told you, you're too dark, you're too light, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too this, you're too that. Nobody will ever love you, so just deal with this miserable situation. Things will never improve for you. You're gonna be by yourself. You'll never find good friends. You'll never get another opportunity. You mess up everything. You screw up. See, I'll come down your street. Holy Ghost, come down the street. You always do too much. People always take advantage of you. You're a pushover. Nobody really cares about you. Nobody really loves you. It doesn't matter what you do. We shut down every lie. I need you to grab somebody's hand in the building and no line. Say, we shut down every lie. In the name of Jesus. Y'all, we're about to take 30 seconds. We got to go up. I heard the Lord loud and clear. For those of you, there's nobody with you, stretch your hands towards me. Father, in Jesus' name, we shut down and we silence every lie for the hands that we hold and the hands that are stretched toward me right now. And I pray, God, that whatever the lie is, you shut it down. I pray that whatever the lie is, you silence it. In the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, that no weapon that's formed against them would prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment, God, I pray that it would be condemned now. In the name of Jesus. Every lie, shut it down. The lie that says you're going to die from breast cancer, the devil is up. The lie that says you're going to have diabetes like everybody else in your family did. The devil is a liar. The lie that says that you're never going to actually enjoy your life. The devil is a liar. The lie that makes you feel like you've wasted too much of your life. Your life is not over. You have a pulse, so God has a plan. The devil is a liar. Shut it down, God, and silence it. Because that means the opposite is true. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just squeeze that hand and say, I speak life to you. Church shows me I speak life. Squeeze that hand. Say, we shut down the lies of the enemy. Say, God's going to start dismantling them today. Say, we're about to step into the spring feast. Sudden, fast, forward, movement. Say, every lie is about to be shut down and silenced. Sudden, fast, forward, movement. Drop that hand and put a praise in the building and online. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heads bowed, eyes closed in this building and online. If you need to become a Christian, recommit yourself to the Lord, or be sure today's your day. Here's the lie the enemy would tell you. You've made too many mistakes. You've sinned too much. That's what Jesus died for. You failed too much. That's what Jesus died for. It's like telling a barber you got too much hair. Well, that's what they do. Cut hair. Telling a nail tech you got too many issues with your nails. Well, that's what they're for. They're a nail tech. Jesus specializes in taking nothings and turning them into somethings. He specializes in taking what the enemy says is useless and making it useful. He specializes in taking nobodies and making them into somebodies for his glory. If you need to become a Christian, recommit yourself to the Lord, or be sure, wherever you're at, on the count of three, you're going to do the hand wave emoji, or you're going to say it's me. No guilt, no condemnation, no shame. In the building, you slip your hand up. Online, you do the hand wave emoji, say it's me. One, two, three. Wherever you're at, do that hand wave emoji, say it's me. Church, we're a church that celebrates people coming to the Lord. In the building and online. Hallelujah. Online, just do the hand wave emoji, say it's me. I got online ambassadors on every platform watching for your responses. Everybody, pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for your love for me. I confess with my mouth
And I believe in my heart that you are my Lord and my Savior. Give me the grace to be a faithful Christian from this day forward. If I fall or if I fail, give me the grace to get right back up again. Today is the beginning of the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, guys, you just prayed that prayer, recommitted yourself to the Lord, or sure, you scan the QR code on the screen or text Harvest to 55498, enter the option for salvation. We want to shoot you a message right away to show you how to make Christianity your lifestyle and not just a hobby. Secondly, for some of you, you're already saved, but you need a shepherd. You can live in Denver, Atlanta, anywhere across America, around the world, be a part of the Harvest Church family. We're a hybrid church, which means the majority of people connected to Harvest have never actually been in a building. And we're spread out across virtually every continent. I even saw one time somebody from Antarctica was watching. I just want to be clear. I have no plans to come visit you. You're just going to have to watch me online. Listen, I don't like the snow. I don't like the cold. Okay. But we're glad you're connected. Seriously, we're glad you're connected. I say that jokingly. I'll come. Invite me when it's hot. I'll come whenever it's warm. Listen, you text Harvest to 55498 or you scan the QR code into the option for Join HC. You can be a part of our family. Y'all get some out of this word today. I love you, Harvest. Listen, Passover begins here very shortly. Remember, we're fasting tonight at 6 p.m. local time into Monday, 6 p.m., whatever your local time is. Listen, if you came in late, you weren't able to give, get your giving ready. If you're going to sow the seal, get that ready. What does that mean, sow the seal? If the word spoke life into you, you're going to sow into that word. Our seed tonight is from, I want to take it, and I heard the Lord loud and clear about this, and we're just going to obey God. Say, let's obey God. It's going to be from John 8 and 44. It's going to be 8 and 44, and so the seed is going to be 44. That's going to be the seed. I'm sowing mine. That's going to be the seed. That's going to be the seed. And why that particular verse? Because it just reminds you the devil is a liar. And what is 44? The biblical number of creativity. 4 is the biblical number of creativity. That's the seed. I heard the Lord. That's what we're going to sow today. That's what we're going to sow today. He said, Bishop, I don't have that. Get as close as you can to it. Put 2 4s in it. Maybe you do $20.44, $33.44. If you got the 44, you release that seed with me. And all you're going to say is, the devil's a liar. So you can do TDL. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. This is so powerful because when you begin, and we'll deal with this on Wednesday and all this week in our pop-ups a little bit. When you begin to deconstruct the lies of the devil, you really begin to see how much he's been lying and how many lies you've been believing. He lied to a man in John chapter 5 for 38 years and told him the only way you get up from here is if you go get in that water that somebody stirred. He told him something spiritual that was a lie. You missed what I just said. He told him something spiritual that was a lie. So the man for 38 years is sitting in a stagnant and stuck position waiting on something he didn't need. Because when Jesus showed up, he just said, get up, take up your bed and walk. I don't need to get in the water? No. I don't need somebody to carry me to the water? No. The water had nothing to do with what your future was. Which means the enemy can lie to you using the Bible. Oh, my God. He'll lie to you and you'll put yourself in a box God never put you in. Oh, my God. We're going to deal with this thing, right? How can you sow? Use Cash App, $BishopForm with the number 2. PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, GiveLify. That's available. The email is hello at harvestchurch.church. Mail it in the P.O. Box 441004, Aurora, Colorado, 844. And, of course, y'all know we got these new methods, stocks, crypto. You can get a gift card or in our donor advised fund. That's available for you, too. I love you, Harvest. Don't forget, get your spring feast seed in the ground, whatever that sacrifice is. I've taught you about that. That's what this prop over here is. This is all from Passover. But wasn't Bible study on Wednesday, wasn't that thing amazing? Oh, my God. It was powerful. But in that, that's what that is. And so I'm excited about your future. Smile at somebody. Say, I'm excited about your next. Come on, tell them. Seriously, say, I'm excited about your next. Come on, lift your giving to the Lord in the building and online. Everybody say, I'm blessed to be a blessing because I'm a faithful giver. I flourish. All things work together for my good. The devil is a liar, and I won't believe those lies anymore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Masses are passing here at Grape Seed for my online family. You can use the online giving methods to give or scan the QR code. For those of you in the building, there's an envelope there, or you can use the handout with in your seat or in the seat pocket in front of you, predicated upon wherever you're sitting. You can avail yourself to that.
There'll be prayer partners right down front here at Grape Street to pray with you. Whatever prayer requests you've got, you can come right down front, and some of our team will be happy to pray for you. For my online fam, you can type your prayer request in the comments right now. My online ambassadors will make sure they see those, and we cover those in prayer, all right? Don't forget, we're fasting. I've reminded you three times today. Don't forget, we're fasting tonight, 6 p.m. local time until Monday, 6 p.m. The Passover begins. Say, it is beginning. Anybody used to watch Mortal Kombat or look at, or not watch it, but play it back in the day? It has begun. And something's about to begin in your life. Favor's about to begin. Breakthrough's about to begin. Open doors are about to begin. Good news is about to begin. I don't know who needs to do this, but y'all, I got one more praise. I got to take us up one more time. I just need you to touch somebody close to you and say, something big is about to begin for you. Come on, we're about to go home. But I heard the Lord say, take them up one more time, son. I just need you to tell somebody else, say, something big is about to begin for you. Say, you've been waiting for a long time. Say, something big is about to begin for you. Yeah, come on. Slap somebody, high five. Say, something big is about to begin. Say, something mind-blowing is about to begin. I don't like the way some of y'all are saying it. Say it like I said it. Touch them. Say, something big is about to begin. Now, don't praise God for yourself. Praise God for your neighbor. Go, 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 go. Type it in the comments. If nobody's there with you, stretch your hands towards me. Something big's about to begin for you in Houston. Something big's about to begin for you in Miami. Something big is about to begin for you in Indiana. Something big is about to begin in McKinney. Something big is about to begin in Dallas. Something big is about to begin in San Antonio. Something big is about to begin for... Now don't wait until the battle is over. But I need somebody to shout right. Hallelujah. 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 Let's do it together. Everybody, love God, love people, love life. Hug 3 to 4 people on your way out. Tell them I'm excited about your future online. Make sure you share. When you share, people get saved. I see you all day today online. I see you for prayer tomorrow night. I love you. Go in the shalom of God.